Welcome to the latest episode of the Gospel Podcasts. These recordings are published weekly by the Christians that assemble at the Hospital Hill Gospel Hall in Dunfermline, Scotland. Be assured you are in our prayers, and we know that God will bless you for listening. Further information is provided at the end of this short podcast. I now pass you over to the latest message recently recorded at the Gospel Hall. Thank you.
Now, good afternoon. Allow me to extend again the very warm welcome that's been given already. Thank you for coming. Thank you for listening. And we're going to turn, please, to the New Testament and to the book of James, please. James chapter 5. And we're just going to read one verse as we're going to apply this verse as a principle to the rest of our message. James chapter 5 and verse number 15 is the verse that I like to focus on here. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick. And we're going to turn, please, to the Gospel of Matthew. And chapter number 9, please. Gospel according to Matthew and chapter number 9. And we're going to read from verse number 1. And we'll just read a few select portions of this passage of Scripture. Starting at verse 1, Matthew chapter 9. And he entered into a ship, and of course that is the Lord Jesus, and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, or a paralyzed man, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the paralyzed man, Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins, then said he to the paralyzed man, Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. But when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men. We'll jump down to verse number 10, please. And it came to pass, as Jesus sat at meat in the house, behold, many publicans and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto his disciples, Why eateth your master with publicans and sinners? But when Jesus heard that, he said unto them, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. But go ye and learn what that meaneth, I will have mercy, and not sacrifice, for I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And we'll jump down to the end of the chapter, please, just for two more verses. Verse number 35-36. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Now, perhaps you've picked up the connection between these passages already. I would like to think this afternoon about the theme that's found in the Scriptures of the Great Physician. It's very interesting that in Matthew chapter 9, in a chapter that's so full of healing, we've read about the paralyzed man that was healed. We could read further about others that were healed in this chapter as well. But in this chapter, so full of healing and miracles performed by the Lord Jesus, he takes time to sit down among publicans and sinners. And in verse number 12, he says these beautiful words, They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. You see, it's not while he was performing a miracle of healing that he said these words. You see, what the Lord Jesus Christ is trying to drive across those who were in his presence that day was this, that it's not physical sickness that he's talking about in this context, but it's spiritual sickness. The sickness of the soul. See, the Bible tells us emphatically, beyond any shadow of doubt, that the whole of the human race suffers from this universal problem, and it's called sin. You see, we each of us here this afternoon, everyone in the whole world has this need, to be healed by the great physician of the sick. The Lord Jesus said in response to the Pharisees, who were self-righteous, people relying on their own works to satisfy God, he said in response to them, "They that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick." You see, they thought that they were beyond the need to be helped. They thought that they were better than everyone else. You see, they were relying upon their own works, as I've said already. And I wonder, is that our attitude this afternoon? What is it that we are relying upon when it comes to facing God? When it comes to that encounter with God that we all shall have to have at the end of our life, is it ourselves? See, these are the words of David, who is described in the Old Testament as being a man after God's own heart. Psalm 41, verse 4, he says, "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me. Heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." If I could just drive this across rather emphatically, that this is not just a message for someone else to consider this afternoon, it is a message for you. The Bible tells us in 1 John 1 verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. Romans 3 and 23, a verse so frequently quoted in meetings like these, tells us the pronounced judgment or assessment of God upon the whole of the human race, "For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Perhaps we might then wonder, well, this problem that we suffer from, sin, why is it so important? Why is it so necessary that we spend time thinking about this problem? What I'd like to emphasise this afternoon is that sin against God is not a light thing in his estimation. You see, sin really, if we could summarise it like this, is simply rebellion against God. It is as if we have simply shaken our fist in the face of God. And God is not going to overlook or simply ignore it, as God is absolutely holy. God is holy and righteous and just. And sin is something, when it comes to God, that he will have to deal with. And really, there are two ways for God to deal with the matter of our sin. Either through the means of his grace and his mercy, or free judgment against our sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse number 23 tells us, "For the wages of sin is death." You see, through our sins, we are essentially generating wages. I think we're all familiar with wages, the concept of wages, what we're owed for our efforts, the thing that we have laboured for, and the reward that God is going to have to give to us because of our wicked deeds is simply death. This is true physically. That's why you see graveyards everywhere, every village, town, city, no matter where it is that you go, all across the world, sin leads to death. But it's true not just in a physical sense, but in a spiritual sense as well. Revelation 20, verse number 14 says, "And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire." This is the second death. The second death. You see, it's crucial this afternoon that we begin to grasp something of the seriousness of our condition in the sight of God. His estimation is that this is of critical importance. But I'm so glad that these verses that we've quoted to you do not stop where they do. They're not verses of doom and gloom, their messages and verses of hope. Romans 6 and verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, yes, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." Verse number 13, the Lord Jesus Christ himself says, "I am not come to call the righteous," or the self-righteous, "but sinners to repentance." See, as we thought about in James chapter 5 and verse number 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. God expects nothing less than faith and repentance. You see, we need to, this afternoon, repent and to believe the gospel. Repentance towards God means really just a complete changing, turning around of our attitude towards God and also about ourselves as well. We are going to have to humble ourselves in the sight of God and take sides with God. To recognise that we are sick with this problem of sin, we have wronged him. God is the wrong party. But today, this afternoon, he offers to us mercy. And it is only through that mercy and grace that he can save us. And God expects not just repentance towards God, but he expects faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son. You see, God is offering today, this afternoon, as a free gift for our taking, eternal life, which can only be found exclusively in the person of his Son. What God expects of us this afternoon is that we have to cast aside all of our own efforts to deal with this sickness that only can be dealt with the great physician of the sick. We must cast aside our efforts and take God at his word and rely our all upon the Lord Jesus. It's crucial then that we've thought about the seriousness of our condition, but it's crucial that we understand who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Why is he so worthy of our faith and our trust in him? Why is he the centre of this message of the gospel? Mark chapter 2, verse 6 and 7 that we've read together, Mark chapter 2, 6 and 7 is the parallel passage to what we've read in Matthew chapter 9. It's the same account, but it gives it from a different perspective. And there the scribes, they phrase the question this way: "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, 'Why does this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?'" It's a very good question, isn't it? Who can forgive sins but God only? But what they had failed to understand and to recognise is that the one who was sitting before them was himself God manifest in flesh. Those are the words of 1 Timothy 3 and 16. This is the witness of the Apostle John. "We have seen and do testify that the Father, God the Father, sent the Son, God the Son, to be the Saviour of the world." You see, this miracle, this first miracle that we've read about this afternoon, where the Lord Jesus Christ himself heals a paralysed man. For whether he poses this question, "For whether is easier, which of these things is easier, to say, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." Then said he to the paralysed man, "Arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house." And he arose and departed to his house. You see, it's impossible for a normal man to have done either of these things. He made a paralysed man to walk, who was beyond the help of medicine. But he did this to prove that he had the power to forgive sins. To prove that his word of comfort to that man on seeing his faith: "Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." He healed him to show that his promise was true. You see, what we're learning about the Lord Jesus Christ this afternoon, I trust, is that he is able to heal, to cure every disease, as we've read at the end of chapter number 9. Preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease. And included no less in that list of diseases is the sickness of our souls. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ is proved beyond shadow of a doubt to be the Son of God. And for that reason, he has the right and the authority, as God manifest in flesh, to forgive our sins. You see, for no one else has heaven itself been opened that it might be declared by God the Father that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Not only does this declaration from heaven show us that he is the Son of God, but his works show us who he is as well. We thought about this paralysed man that was healed. We could have read on and thought about a woman with an issue of blood 12 years. And she had spent all her living on doctors, all her money, but her condition only grew worse. But just one encounter with the great physician of the sick, and she was cured. The declaration from heaven shows it. His works show it. But the rest of his life shows it as well. You see, he was holy, completely righteous and pure. The Bible speaks about him in this way, that he is Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God. It says about him that he did no sin, that he knew no sin. In him is no sin. So he had the power, the ability, the authority to heal this man and to forgive his sins because he is the Son of God. But not only because of that reason. Not just because he's God manifest in flesh, but because of this reason too. Because he was about to go and accomplish something at the cross of Calvary. You see, the great physician of the sick was there going to create and effect a cure for the sickness of our souls. 1 Timothy 1 verse number 15 tells us that this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And it was through the means of Calvary that the great physician of the sick would provide this cure for the sickness of our souls, so that God might remain righteous and have a righteous basis on which to forgive us of our sins. I really love those words of the hymn that we sang together just before this meeting started. My great physician heals the sick, the lost he came to save, for me his precious blood he shed, for me his life he gave. I wonder, can you say that without fear of contradiction? Is he your saviour? You see, the saviour was going to have to suffer a great deal on our behalf to provide this cure. The Bible speaks about hours of darkness, that in the middle of the day, when the sun would have been at its highest, that the cross of Calvary was veiled in darkness. And there the Saviour, the just for us the unjust, he would endure the judgment of God because of human sin, suffering beyond what we can even begin to describe with human language. But the scriptures let us into a little bit of what he experienced. Fire is gone into my bones. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. We can't really enter into the totality of the awful sufferings of the Lord Jesus. But I wonder, have you ever considered the fact that he suffered there to provide a cure so that sinners like you and I could be saved? If only we would come to him for the healing of our sin-sick souls. You know, it's really quite an amazing thought, isn't it, that the great physician himself, who had come to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captive free, he would be willing to suffer so much so that all who will repent and put their faith in him can now see this. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. You see, he went to the cross not just to suffer, but he went there to die. But ever before he went to the cross, he said about himself, "No man takes my life from me. I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again." And the Lord Jesus cried upon the cross after those hours of darkness were over, "It is finished, tetelestai, paid in full." And he bowed his head and dismissed his spirit. And you see, the Lord Jesus Christ lived up to the promise that he made concerning his own wife. He said, "I have power to lay it down and power to take it up again. You see, this afternoon, dear folks, we preach one who lives. The Bible tells us, in the power of an endless life. And this is the stamp of God's approval upon everything that he has done. You see, the great physician of the sick has even defeated death. And we can have complete confidence in him and in the cure that he has effected, that he has provided. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 3, it says there, these great words of comfort to all those of us who trust in Christ. He showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. He was seen by Peter, seen of the 12, seen by other individuals. He was seen by over 500 at once. He ate with disciples, he spoke with them, he walked with two in the way. He showed himself to be alive by many infallible proofs. See, this afternoon God is looking for us to trust him. In the words of James chapter 5 and verse number 15, the prayer of faith shall save the sick. God is looking for us to take him at his word, to accept the free gift of salvation that he is offering to us today, to have given to us forgiveness of sins, peace with God. And he's offering that to us today, all through the person of his Son. And again, if I could just emphasise this, this is not something that we can do for ourselves. There are so many verses in the scripture that tell us about the fact that it is God alone who saves. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. Titus chapter 3 in verse number 6, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. You see, it's not works that we need this afternoon. It is Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is able to save. I think we can see something of ourselves in this paralyzed man that we've read about. He could do nothing to save himself. He could do no great works. He could only believe. And when the Lord Jesus Christ saw his faith, what was it he said to him? Son, be of good cheer. Thy sins be forgiven thee. And that is true for us today as well. We can do no great works, we can only believe. And that woman with the issue of blood, we never read about her, but if we had, we would have read about the fact that she spent all her living, but rather grew worse. And that's really just to emphasise the fact that other people aren't able to help us either. Religion is not going to help us or save us. Only the great physician of the sick is able to effect the cure for our sin-sick souls. See, this afternoon, if I could summarise it like this, that if we come in faith to the great physician of the sick, acknowledging that we stand in need of him, then he is ready, he is able, he is willing to heal us this afternoon, and to give us what we cannot achieve or hope to have on our own by our own efforts: peace with God, forgiveness of sins, a home in heaven, deliverance from the judgment of God. Is that not something that you would like to have this afternoon? To have the sickness of your soul cured and to be made right with God? Well, if it is, then today I would implore you to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, for he alone is able to save the sin-sick soul. Let us pray.
Thank you once again for taking the time to listen to this, the latest episode in the Gospel Podcast series. We trust that God will bless you for listening. And if you've not already done so, that you would take this opportunity to put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for the eternal salvation of your precious soul. If you would like further information, or indeed a free personal copy of God's Word, the Bible, you're welcome to contact us. Full contact details can be found on our website, www.hospitalhillgospelhall.org. May God bless you, and goodbye for now.